Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Most people treat storytelling like marketing. Lefty treats storytelling like mythology. In part one, we talked about story before the story. And in this part two, we go one level deeper, how to live a story so your brand stops feeling like content and starts feeling like a world people want to step into. By the end of this episode, you'll have a cinematic framework you can apply immediately. How to turn your life into story assets, how to build a brand world with characters and arcs, and how to create long-form content that outlives algorithms without losing your authenticity. Back with me is Lefteris Lefty Kutninas, a 10-time award-winning filmmaker and branding strategist from Toronto, helping entrepreneurs build story worlds that last. Lefty, let's go behind the lens and welcome back to the show.
What's up, man? Thank you for having me. This has been awesome. I love sharing everything that I do. I can talk movies and shows and branding and just I could talk about this for days without like shutting up.
Yeah. No, what's really cool, and I did not anticipate it, but God works in wondrous ways, right? My kids have a 2-hour delay for school because snow, right? So they're watching Bluey, the TV show. It's a TV show, okay. You know, it's based out of Australia. Bluey and Bingo are the two sisters. They're healers, they're dogs, and then they got their parents. And around Bluey, they've built an entire world of other characters, right? She's got cousins, she's got friends, she's going to school, they're playing different games, they're having a pool or a pond built in their backyard. So they've essentially built an entire world. And who better to talk to about that? Like, it's like right in line with what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's awesome. Worlds are great and interesting, right? Like, you know, a lot of people get upset at the fact that Hollywood doesn't give us anything new, right? and you would actually think that, you know, you're going to go to the theaters and you're going to watch movies and you're going to watch them for new things that are coming out. But, you know, although Hollywood is in the business of, you know, telling great stories, they're actually in the business of building the greatest universes, right? This is why we have, you know, probably 15 plus Marvel films now. This is why we have, I think, you know, 6 to 8 or about like 6 to 8 Jurassic Parks. This is why we get, you know, trilogies. This is why we have 9 Harry Potters and, you know, so on and so forth. And I don't remember the exact numbers of how many films have come out, but you know, you can kind of gauge it that it's in and around that. And that's because it's a lot more immersive to keep us in this environment and just expand on it. Then rather than just give us like a standalone film that we're going to watch and then nothing happens. And you can literally do this with like anything, right? Like, let's use a Titanic as an example. Great movie. The plot completely fictional, minus the fact of like the Titanic actually sinking. But, you know, the plot is fictional. So it's like, you could have done a sequel to Titanic and show, you know, Rose's life after surviving. You know what I mean? And that probably could have been a really, really well-produced film on its own. So the fact is that, like, if you just have the thought, if you can think of the characters, you can honestly build a world out of any movie. I mean, we're getting horror universes like
Yes, me
The
too.
Conjuring, Insidious,
Yeah.
like The Nun. Like, when did horror films start having universes? You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, the first Conjuring I think came out almost 10 years ago, but that's kind of just like what you have to think about, is that like every genre now is like understanding that universe building is what keeps the audience engaged and
Yeah.
keeps the audience entertained and interested and allows us to essentially binge watch.
I mean, you're absolutely right. That's why people love watching TV shows, because there's so much character building, there's so much depth in show after show, or episode after episode after episode. And that's what they're trying to do with the movies. It's like, hey, how can we make an entire universe? And now they literally call it the MCU, right? The Marvel Cinematic Universe. With, I think there are 25 movies, with four more coming out for the next phase. They call them phases, right? The entire Star Wars universe, right? That's another behemoth of not just the movies alone, but the TV shows as well. So I was trying to inspire my kids. I'm like, hey, you're watching Bluey. What did you learn? Like, oh, it's Bluey, right? But what did you actually learn? What, why are you so interested in watching this show? There's one episode where Rusty, he's a little kid, but he's really good in cricket. And nobody knows about this, right? Till they actually play. And they're like, well, just so you know, he's been practicing, he's done this and he's done. So they're again taking us through different layers and building that on top of each other. So now you're even more invested into that universe. The entire John Wick universe, right?
Oh,
There's
yeah.
a spin-off with Ballerina. I mean, we could talk movies all day because that's what I love. But what I want to ask you is, right, when you say live the story, what does that actually mean in real life? And how can business owners and entrepreneurs implement that in their lives or in their stories?
Yeah, so like Gary Vee came out with a concept like years ago called like just document, essentially like document everything, right? Now, like if you think about it, our lives in general, they are lived stories, right? We communicate with other people over stories, right? You don't necessarily go to a dinner gathering at a family's house and you talk about facts and figures and like ads and insights and all that. No, you share stories with these people at dinner. Maybe it will revolve around that, but you tend to lead with a story first. So when I say live the story, is that you are the main character of the life that you live. And there is obviously a beginning, a middle, and an end. Obviously, we know that the beginning is birth, and we know that the end is death. But in between, there's so much story to unravel. You have your own universe, and that doesn't necessarily mean. And when I say that, I don't mean like grab a camera, strap it to your chest, your head, your car, and like always have record on every single moment. No, that's a little crazy. But when you can start kind of thinking about your journey as a plot, as an arc in itself, then you can start seeing, okay, well, who are my reoccurring characters? Who's my supporting cast? Who's my background, right? Some people might have clients as a supporting cast. Some people might have clients as their background actors. It really just all depends. I had somebody ask me this really, well, it wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement where they're like, well, my life is boring. I go downstairs to my little home office and I just sit there and I work all day. Like, I make breakfast, lunch, dinner, maybe get a coffee, maybe make a coffee, and like, that's it. That's my life, right? And one thing I said to them was, like, why do you feel like your life is so boring and it's not interesting? And I turned around to them, or they turned around to me at that point, and they said, "Well, I just see other people doing things. Like they're either on vacation or they have these like cool cars, or they have or they have these like these other like awesome experiences, and they're rock climbing, they're this and that." And I go, "Okay, let's break it down and talk about, a 7 to 9 figure earner, for example. They have the luxury to do whatever they want for the most part." I go, "Is that their life every day?" "Absolutely not. Their life is Zoom calls and business meetings and boardrooms and maybe they have staff that they have to attend to and coaching calls, and they're jumping on plane to plane in hotel rooms. Like
Maybe they have kids.
those people with money, yeah, they have kids too. Like those people with money also live boring lives. They're not, they're not fancy and glamorous
All the time,
24 hours a day,
exactly.
7 days a week. So when somebody sits there and tells me, "Well, I don't have the means because, I just go down to my desk and I just make coffee." Great. Find an interesting way to show me how you make that coffee and make it a part of your story. I feel like there's a lot of like limitations and limiting beliefs in what people can and cannot achieve based on, a financial situation they might be in. "Oh, I don't have the money. I don't have the camera. I don't have this. I don't have that." But you don't need those things to flex a creative muscle.
You're 100% right. There's and funny enough, there's entire channels of people eating food, and that's the entire video. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's boring, but people love watching people eat food. I'm like, what? Who knew that? Because maybe they're trying to curb their eating, so they're like, let me just watch somebody else eat food.
That's why I
But
say, like, it's never been a better time in history to make money off of your personality.
exactly.
Like, there's
It's
nothing else. Like, I don't feel, I honestly feel like, and I'm gonna say this a little like abruptly, but we've seen all the gimmicks, we've seen all the sales tactics, we've seen all the offers and the upsells and like we've seen it all. There is literally nothing more that you can do to persuade us to make a sale. So if that's the case, and add things like ChatGPT, Grok, and all the other platforms, I don't even know half of them, because I don't care to. I only use one, and that's fine with me. But when information is not the secret anymore because it's open to anybody and everybody, you can't trick me anymore. So realistically, if your business fails, it's because you got a shitty personality. That's the end of the road. Like we there there's nothing else that you can trick us with, because we've seen it all. That gap between 2020 and 2023, where it was very funnel heavy and fear mongering, and you're and this like it's done. Like you can't fool us. So the only way you can win now is with your personality.
You're absolutely right, my friend. And personality is what's going to take us to that next level, to that next connection, because people aren't coming to buy the thing that you're selling, right? They're not.
Yeah. No.
That's not it. They're coming for your personality, who you are, who what you believe in, right? I'm a father with four kids, and I'm a very strong, believer and practicer of my religion, Islam, right? So that shows people who where you draw the line. People got to know where you draw the line, because when they know that, then they say, okay, now I admire that in a person, and that's what pulls me into them. So I love that what you said. We all do live boring lives, but that boring is what's going to get you that Olympic medal. that championship, right? That's the work you got to put in. And how can you spice it up, or how can you bring other people into your world?
And like, yeah, and I mean, I'll give a perfect example, whether you've seen the film or who's ever watching and listening, if you've seen the film or not too, like, let's use a movie like Marty Supreme that just came out, right? Like, the guy was a shoe salesman to becoming a, or at least attempting to become a professional ping pong player.
Yeah.
Like, we went from one boring job to a boring sport, yet made it entertaining and interesting, right? I know how boring and repetitive ping pong can get. Like, you know, my nieces and nephew, when I was out in Nova Scotia over the holidays, like, they have a ping pong table. There is only so much ping pong I can play before, like, I'm just like losing my mind. So, you know, it's not even the being the shoe salesman to being a ping pong player that was interesting about Marty Supreme. It was all the other crap and all the other hurdles and all the other people within his environment that made the thing interesting and made the movie and the journey interesting to becoming that, right? On top of, you know, the God knows how many character flaws he had, just because he was, like, you know, a terrible human being, in my opinion. But other than that, like, that's like if you can even, like, look at, like, if you could just look at, like, movies that are now coming out, they're taking boring everyday things and turning them into interesting. Like, I just watched Rachel McAdams' new film, Send Help, or Sending Help, or whatever it's called. You take a boring, like, very boring desk job type accountant.
Yeah.
Like, a plane crashes and now they're stuck on an island. Boring from beginning to end. It's not a boring movie, by the way.
Of course.
I thought it was the most brilliant thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But the overall daily task, if you want to call it, was boring. We're at a desk following an accountant to now being stranded on an island for survival. It's like, okay, what do you think is going to happen on that island? Everything is, every day you're doing the same thing. It gets boring, it gets repetitive. So if you can start seeing these patterns in movies, maybe you can start feeling a little bit better about your situation and how you tell your story, and realize, well, hey, you know, if Hollywood is leaning into boring, I should probably lean into boring as well, and see how I can make my boring life interesting. Because believe me, everybody is interesting. They just don't know how to tell it properly.
Yeah. So what you're telling me that is, this isn't about becoming a character. It's about becoming congruent with who you already are, but telling it in a much more creative way.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know how best to describe it, but, like, we are all, in a way, we're all Napoleon Dynamites. Okay. Like we're all Napoleon Dynamites, yet it was one of the greatest movies in pop culture history. Right. Yeah. So, like there, again, there was nothing exciting about him, you know, like, we kind of all are him. So that film was still, like, really, really cool and really interesting and really, like, it was very engaging to watch. You just gotta, you gotta kind of just, like, step into, like, where I would start personally is, I would start where, you know, you maybe do a checklist of, like, your top, I don't know, let's say top three to top five things that no matter what you do every single day. And it's one of those, like, kind of like non-negotiables. It's like, it could start from your morning routine, or it could be something that you do midday, whatever the case might be. Just pick those top three to five non-negotiables that happen every single day, and just find a really cool way to show us that,
And
and then expand from that. Like
yeah.
you don't have to go and make an entire movie like right out the gate, but
No.
baby steps.
Yeah, you start with short stories like James Clear in Atomic Habits did. He's like, hey, I really want to write. What's the first thing that I can do to start writing? Oh, let me start blogging. So he started blogging, and now that he had enough practice in blogging, he's like, let me go write a book. And then he had to promote the book, so then he promoted the book. So he basically graduated himself from one stage to the next stage to the next stage. Now that we've figured out, okay, what are some of the things we need to be doing? Now let's talk about building a world, because that's what filmmakers do, right? Because you don't just teach people to post, you teach them to build worlds. What are the core components of a brand world?
Well, I mean, you definitely need characters. That is first and foremost. You need a reoccurring environment. You need, there's so many ways that you can go through this, but there has to be challenges within the environment. And there's like three different ways that you can create these challenges. Like it could be it's either person versus person, person versus self, or person versus environment. So person versus person is like, let's say you have you feel like you have a competitor, right? You're not directly competing, like, you guys are both getting on Zoom calls and
Yeah.
just talking trash to each other, but
That would be a fun Zoom call to watch, but anyways.
yeah, it would be just like fact checking each other and like,
Yeah.
why have this service? And no, I could do this service. Like, but like, that would be like, that would be person versus person. Person versus person could also be, I don't know, I don't know how many people would want to like show this,
Yeah.
but it could be facing, your best friend and you are in a bit of a rut and you're constantly at each other's throats.
Yeah.
You and your spouse, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, right? Like, these are people versus people. Person versus self is a great one because I think a lot of entrepreneurs go through this and it's the most relatable. It's you versus your inner thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm terrible. I can't, I can't deliver as fast as this person does. I'm weak. I'm financially unstable. I'm the like person versus self is the best one for entrepreneurs, and
Yeah.
finding a way to show that story is really incredible. I actually have to learn to show that story every single time I pretty much produce a YouTube video because it's literally me and these four walls. I have nothing else. I have no other reoccurring characters. And then the other one is person versus environment, right? That could be just, home renovations or home inspections. That could be so many, you can only work in this one spot and your videos look like crap because you have big windows and it's hard
Yeah.
to control that light that comes in the room. I don't know, like I had to take my panels down because I haven't had an opportunity to put them back up yet. But
Yeah.
for example, I had a slow drip, pipe that ended up breaking and
Oh,
making my
man.
ceiling ugly, and I had to break the whole ceiling
Yeah.
opened, and that was a renovation job in its own. And trying to still navigate Zoom calls and film YouTube videos,
Right.
like that's a person versus environment. You're a homeowner too, like you understand the crap that can happen to
Oh
us at any
yeah.
given moment.
It's like on your journey to that golden treasure, you have all these side quests, right? These are side quests. So you got to show them, oh my God, I went to make coffee, but I was off out of the coffee beans. So I went to the pantry and there was a leak in the pantry. So now you've got this entire story. They're like, I went to make coffee, but then all these side quests start happening. So again, you make it really, you know, interesting, not just interesting, but based in reality, but tell it from a storyteller's view. And there's so many different frameworks, and one of the most popular ones is the Pixar story framework, the hero's journey, but there's so many more other frameworks. And as you're telling those stories, what's the villain in most entrepreneur stories, right? The enemy they're actually fighting, like what are those? If you can come, if I mean, I'm sure you've worked with so many different entrepreneurs, these are villains that they're fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to, your brand has to have an enemy. If you don't have an enemy, you don't have a story, right? Like, because every good story has like conflict and like rising tension, right? The only way that can happen is if there's an enemy. Yeah. And again, an enemy doesn't have to be a person. It could be a system. It could be like, I once thought my enemy was short form content. It's actually copy paste culture. I hate that everybody, I honestly fight against the fact that everybody is just clicking a framework or taking a ChatGPT prompt or, you know, restructuring, you know, everybody wanted to look like Hormozy or everybody or every YouTube video had to look like Mr. Beast. Yeah. Like where's the originality? Where's the creativity? Like what the hell happened to us? Right. So that like me for my brand, like I said, that's my enemy is copy paste culture. And I do the very best that I can to move people out of that state. And of course, I mean, there's so many other, there's so many other myths that I can break down that just like drive me bananas, but, that would be the one at the forefront. If I was like looking across the room and I have like an army behind me and they have an army, that would be it.
That would be it.
If you go back, like we were all gamers at one point, whether you still, you know, play the occasional video game, no matter how old you are now, like there's a reason why RPGs are so, you know, they're so explosive in the gaming world because they give you an open world format.
Yeah.
You can turn the game on and go immediately to the final boss and literally get your ass handed to you. Or you could realize, well, crap, if I got to fight this guy at the end, I got to move around and collect XP and, you know, make sure that like my health is up and my weapons are upgraded and, you know, I get allies along the way and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Right. So you almost want to like, I think people are so fixated at a financial goal.
They are,
and I use this as an example because, you know, every entrepreneur has a financial goal, which is the final boss, but they forget to realize that like
it's the so much story bigger than
in
that.
Between.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The story in between is huge. They think once I reach that financial goal, then my story is worth it. But the truth is the story is worth it now because once you hit that financial goal, then it's going to be even cooler to see what you do with it.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. But the beautiful part of it, that financial goal, that big thing that we're fighting is not the end all be all either, right? It's just a milestone to the next level. And there was an interview with Matthew McConaughey, somebody was doing, and he would keep coming back and this mentor of his would ask him, you know, what's the best version of Matthew McConaughey? And he would say, it's 5 years from now. He said, it's 5 years from now. And then 5 years later, they asked him, you know, when's the best version of you? Like, well, it's 10 years from now. Right. So you're constantly growing, constantly leveling up because we weren't the same people we were 10 years ago. And we wouldn't want to be the same person 10 years from now because we're constantly growing. There's technology, there's, new characters entering our world, and whatnot. So what I'm hearing is, or what last question I want to ask is, what's one symbol can any creator own immediately outside of their own personality?
What do you mean by that?
Okay. So it's basically around symbolism, creators. Actually, you know what? Let me skip that question. It's dumb.
I mean, I may have an answer to it,
Okay,
but yeah.
let's see what your answer is, and then we can use it or not.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of symbolism, I think the only, I think one thing that you can start owning today as a creator or entrepreneur or anybody is really just your identity, right? And then using that identity of yours to shape your story. Like I know a lot of us, we subconsciously hold labels over our names based on, what other people have said about us over the years, which might not be that version of ourselves today, right? But we will say like, oh yeah, yeah, I like, and the horoscopes are the biggest ones here. It's like we use it to justify behavior. Like, oh, he's an asshole because he's a Scorpio. Like, no,
No.
maybe I'm just an asshole because I'm an asshole. Like, you know what I mean? So like the horoscope thing is the one identity that we hold over ourselves that might actually not be true. It's just you heard one or two or three people say it about you, and then you're just like, oh yeah, I'm that way because of that. So I think if you can, own the identity of who you are now, or own the identity of who you will become, then you can really focus and hone in on the story. Because I've always said, if you really think about it, like we talk about, we talk about, let's say, even business in 5 year intervals, right? Just because, they say the average business either succeeds or fails in the fifth year, right? So if you think about that, imagine now you took your 5 year business plan and wrote it as a screenplay. And you wrote the screenplay with everything in mind. In 1 year, I'm gonna reach this milestone, but in order to reach this milestone, my character has to be in this room and this room and this room and has to have a conversation with this person, this person, this person. And then I'm gonna get there. But then once I get there, something is gonna happen where I'm gonna be in a different pond, and then maybe somebody might be jealous of me, and then that jealousy is gonna probably take me 3 steps back. So, you see, I'm starting to build a story around my 5 year business plan. And when you can start defining the people and the characters and the background actors and the supporting cast, when you reach 12 months from now and you do hit that goal, and oh my God, that person automatically shows up that is super jealous of you, you're gonna know how to navigate it. Why? Because you wrote the fucking script, baby.
That's right. That's right.
You have the outcome. You already know the end goal. So that's it. It's it. That's just as simple as it is. It's not really so much about, manifesting or putting in hard work or anything like that. It's just, you say it in sales all the time. Stick to the script,
Skip
right?
that.
So do the same thing with your story, do the same thing with your 5 year business plan, do the same thing with how you show up and really build your brand. Is just stick to the script. You
love it.
wrote it. You have all authority over
Yeah.
it.
Man, this is so powerful. So we build worlds, we figure out how to tell our stories. So I want to land this with action. If someone wants to start building their world this week, what's the first thing that they can do today?
Sit back, don't do anything but observe. Observe your day, observe behavioral patterns, observe how you move within an environment. Like, really, really just be like super conscious of you and your space, like be in you know what I mean? And through that, and also like pick, and why I say like behavioral patterns is because you'll be able to pick up how you move through the world based on, how you as a person are. Like, are you always happy? Do you get agitated easily? Are you like crazy stressed out? Like, imagine that. Like, imagine being on like Instagram or YouTube or whatever platform, and like we're like every time we open up a video, we're just watching a guy or girl just freak out, ripping their hair out because they're just stressed. They're a stressed person by nature. Like, that's good television. You know what I mean? So you need to just you kind of just need to sit back and just watch watch your world around you. Like, watch it unfold and pay a lot of attention, like I said, to how you move in that world. And walk around with a notepad, or walk around, or if you're somebody that uses your phone, like, make sure that like you have like your notes opened and available to you, and just jot down everything that you see, that you hear, that even feelings, like how you feel in a specific moment. And then when you can take all that information, now you can plug it into like a character profile. And once you can build a character profile, then you can be like, how does my character work in this world? And then you can build the world, and then the world will open up characters, and characters will open up subplots will open up, and the list goes on and on
That's
and on and
going
on.
on. You're on the money there, man, because it's with observation, it's with awareness is when we can tell a real story. When I started my podcast, I followed one direction. And this was by Gary Vee, we mentioned him earlier. Document your journey. And I started thinking, what journey am I on right now? Oh, I just finished beekeeping class. I'm about to become a beekeeper,
It's awesome.
right? Let me document that journey. And when I started documenting that journey, guess what came out? Stories, right? Because as you do the documenting, it forces you to tell a concise, more concise story. There's a powerful book called Story Worthy by Matthew Dicks. Powerful, powerful. And he talks about the same thing that you just mentioned. Observe your life. What are the 5-minute stories that you can pull out of it? Something happened with your kid. Something happened with something with your house. Like, those are stories that you can build into and create a relatable connection with the audience that are watching you grow.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to be about like marketing and like,
No.
oh, I have to write the greatest copy in history. Like, you'll notice you'll probably get more attention and possibly even like more business just by, just by sharing a story of like, how you had friends over for a barbecue, and you put a little bit too much. You raised the propane a little too high and you singed your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, someone's gonna relate to you a lot more telling that than talking about like why your, AI tool is the greatest and the best, and or why your coaching service like really helps people where they want to be in 90 days. Like, yeah, that's all cool, but like that's not really why I'm there. I have to, we relate to each other first, right? And if I could like leave anybody with like the best advice is like I always look at it from like a family perspective, right? I always like even when I'm creating my YouTube videos, I always think to myself is like, is this something that when I am no longer here, will my family enjoy watching it back? Right? And I think a lot of people they have this like this fear in them that I can only tell my story or I can only invest in any form of production if it's going to make me a return.
Yeah,
It
that's unfortunately.
has to make me a return.
Yeah.
But like the return on investment for me, and okay, maybe it's a little easier for me to say this because, I have the tools, I have the skills, I have all of that. But at the end of the day, everybody has the tools. Hello, everybody has a phone in their pocket. But
Exactly.
at the end of the day, it's like I think if people stopped putting so much pressure on this documentary or this film or this episodic series has to make me money or I'm not giving you money, and just
It's over.
looked at it from the lens of, when I'm not here anymore, what can I leave my family outside of possibly the wealth that you've created? Like, that's what's gonna matter. Like your wife, your kids, your brother, your sister, your cousins, your possible grandkids, they're gonna go back and they're gonna just wanna watch your YouTube channel. They're
Yeah.
gonna they're like your grandkids especially are gonna just
Dang.
want to know who their grandfather was or their great grandfather,
Yeah.
right? Like if you don't do it for anything else, do it for them. Like that is like people think that legacy means money. No, legacy means how people are gonna view you and observe you and continue to talk about you when you're not there. And that's not just in the room, that's in life in general.
Yeah. Dude, that's so powerful, especially thinking about it from the afterlife perspective, right? You're gone. There's one gentleman who I've known for many years. He passed away 2 years ago, right? He was a guest on my show. We worked together. We did 30-day video challenge together. And he's got a ton of video content that's up on LinkedIn and other platforms that people are gonna remember him just by watching him and who he was as a character. So, that's really powerful, and it puts the whole thing on a different perspective, because your kids or your grandkids are not gonna go watch your marketing videos or training videos unless they
No.
want to learn about it, right? That's a totally different game plan. But this was really good, man. Thank you so much, Lefty. Appreciate it. Where can people find you, learn your process, or if they want to work with you, work with you there.
I'm pretty much working on my new landing page and my new funnel, personaclubsociety.com. I don't know if it's going to be up and running by the time this video comes out. If it's not up and running yet, totally apologize in advance that maybe some links might not work. But other than that, my YouTube channel is my first and foremost, Lefteris Koutinas. You can just pop me in on that chat. And if you wanted to find me easiest on YouTube, if the name doesn't catch, I have a very popular video called What is a Documentary? So You can type that into the search and find that, and then find my channel through there. Other than that, all the usuals, Facebook, Instagram, I'm still on everything. But yeah, my landing page with Facebook, YouTube, that's probably where you're going to find me. That's where you're going to learn a lot of stuff. And I'm always open to having a conversation if you ever wanted to take it to the next level.
Lofty, thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'll be sure to include the links to all the things you mentioned, from your Facebook page, from your social media, to that popular video, to your YouTube channel and your community in the show notes so folks can get in touch with you right away, one way or another. Guys, if you've been
Awesome.
trapped in short-form chaos, here's your permission slip. Stop chasing attention and start building a world, because stories don't die with when the algorithms change. Worlds don't disappear when trends shift. Lefty, thank you so much for reminding us that the goal isn't to go viral, it's to become unforgettable.
Yeah, viral is so 2019.
Absolutely. So guys, everyone listening here, keep showing up, keep creating, and keep turning your passions into purpose. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.